Grace to you and mercy from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As Miss Susan said, in March of 2016, one of my favorite TV programs aired its last episode. It was called Mythbusters, not to be confused with Ghostbusters. As its name suggests, the Mythbusters were a group of men and women who took various myths, various old wives' tales, various urban legends, and they sought to bust them, to put them to the test to see if they're true or false. And they did it all. This is the reason why I loved the show so much. They did it all using scientific method and experimentation. I love that stuff. For example, one of the tests, one of the things that they tested, or the myth that they tested, was to see if a car can break a locked chain link fence, which we see often on TV in Hollywood movies. Well, the result was that they can. A car can break through a chain link fence. They also tested if elephants really are afraid of mice. And yes, the conclusion was that elephants really don't like having mice around, which means that I must be part elephant. In fact, the show even tested whether it's possible to remove a person's hat by using a bullet. And yes, it is very possible, but not highly recommended. Because most often than not, you're liable to put a big size hole in the person's head. It is recommended that a hat is removed by hand, yours or another. Now, whether or not such a show is of interest to you, the premise, you've got to admit, the premise is undeniably true. And that is, you can't always believe everything you see or hear, especially when it comes to myths and old wives' tales and urban legends. Now, why is this important? Why am I talking about Mythbusters? Well, it's important because there are many myths out there, especially regarding religion, regarding our faith, regarding heaven and earth. These myths, unfortunately, have the capacity to do real harm, to really cause damage to our faith and to our belief system. So this morning, we're going to bust some of these myths, not with science, but with the Word of God, as revealed to us in our reading for this morning. Now, I want to point right away that the myths that are revealed in today's reading are as follows. There are four of them. Myth number one, everyone goes to heaven. Myth number two, outward appearances matter. Myth number three, going to church is optional. It's no big deal. And fourth, miracles convert people into believers. Those are the four myths that I could find out of the gospel reading, out of the story that we read this morning. So let's start with the first myth. Myth number one. Everyone goes to heaven. Now, it's been studied that 2/3 of Americans believe that everyone will go to heaven when they die, whether they believe in God or not. That's 7 out of 10 people believe that everyone will make it to heaven, regardless if they're believers. However, our gospel text this morning, the reading from the 16th chapter of Luke, tells us that Jesus demonstrates that this is a myth. According to the parable that Jesus told his disciples and the Pharisees, and again, a parable is an earthly story that reveals spiritual truths. So according to Jesus' parable, as recorded in the 16th chapter of Luke, not everyone gets to heaven. Like the rich man in the parable, some will end up in agony in the fiery pit of hell. Now, what's striking about this is that it's Jesus who's giving us this awful description of hell. It's striking because most people, most Americans think that Jesus is way too nice. Jesus is way too tolerant. Jesus is way too loving to ever condemn anyone to hell for eternity. Therefore, it's striking that he tells this story about a man ending up in hell. And of course, in this gospel reading, Jesus describes hell as a place of torment, where people are burned alive forever without any hope of relief or any hope of or the ability to die in order to avoid the agony. Furthermore, Scripture teaches us that hell is the state or the condition of being permanently separated from God and from His love. So one of the spiritual truths that we can glean from Jesus' parable is that those who choose to have no relationship with God, or those who knows not of His Son's dying on a cross and His Son's ruling over our lives, those who choose not to have relationship with God and those who do not know of the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they run the risk of living and being in hell for all of eternity. Friends, this is all the more reason why there's an urgency for us here at Our Savior's. There's an urgency for us and for all Christians across the globe, because our mission, our vision statement in a nutshell is that we desire for the entire world to know and to experience God. Therefore, it is the mission of every Christian believer to engage and to invite all people to know and to have relationship with God through Christ Jesus, and for all people to experience God. That is an urgency that we ought to have, not only here at Our Savior's, but throughout Christendom. Myth number two, outward appearances matter. Now you may ask, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, one of the many things that I've learned in my close to 30 years in ministry is that some Christians claim, and even among us Lutherans, this of course excludes Our Savior's. We don't believe in this at Our Savior's. We're better than that. But some Christians claim that they can tell whether a person is going to heaven or going to hell by just looking at them. It's true. I have encountered so many Christians who claim that by looking at certain someone, the way they dress, the way they talk, the way they move, the way they move about in God's universe, that they could tell that they will end up in heaven or they will end up in hell. That's sad. You know why? Either they have a copy of God's playbook of who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, or somebody is judging, making false judgment and accusations about others. This myth is a sad myth. Why? Because it existed even in Jesus' day. This is how this myth goes. If you're happy, if you're healthy, and if you're wealthy, it means God loves you. And if God loves you, guess where you're going to end up? Heaven. But if you're not happy, depressed or whatever, if you're not healthy, struggling with all kinds of infirmities, and if you're not wealthy, well, that means God is angry at you. And you know what that means. You're not going to make it into heaven. You're going to go to the other place. That's the thinking that existed back in Jesus' day, and it still exists today among good fellow Christians. That's sad. So Jesus, being fully aware of this myth, describes two men whose circumstances couldn't have been more different. He describes a rich man who enjoys a 5-star meal every day, while Lazarus, this poor man whose stomach aches for the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. He describes a rich man dressed in purple and in fine linen, while Lazarus, his body was covered with sores. And upon their deaths, unlike the rich man, Lazarus dies as a beggar. But there's no funeral mentioned for Lazarus. His corpse was probably tossed into the same mass grave among other beggars. But the rich man, Jesus said, he was buried. And you could just imagine what that burial, that funeral, must have looked like for a rich man. Now, friends, had you lived back in Jesus' day and you'd seen these two men, who do you think was assumed to have made it into heaven? If you said, or if you thought, the rich man, you're right. That was the thinking of the day, and perhaps even in today's time. But let's pull back the curtain on this parable, and let's see what's really going on here. What was the most notable thing about Lazarus to you? Not that he was a beggar. The beggars were everywhere. What's most notable in this story about Lazarus is that he has a name. Lazarus is named. This is the only parable of Jesus where one of his character has an actual name. That's significant in and of itself. And the name Lazarus comes from the Hebrew word Eleazar, which means God is my help. So the unnamed rich man may not have helped Lazarus, but God did. And God wrote Lazarus' name in the book of life, as written in Revelation chapter 20. Now, on the other hand, the rich man is unnamed. For according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, evildoers are not known or to be recognized by God. Second, what's so different about these two men is that God sent his angels to carry Lazarus' filthy, sore-covered body to heaven, but no angel is sent to get the body of the rich man. Why? because the damned need no help getting to hell. And finally, Lazarus finds eternal peace and rest at Abraham's side, while the rich man winds up screaming his lungs out in the never-ending torment and agony of hell. Friends, there's a warning here for us. It's this. Don't think that you can tell who will go to heaven and who will go to hell based on outward appearances. Stop thinking that wealth equals heaven and poverty equals hell, or vice versa. Stop judging or guessing or assuming that you know whom God will receive into heaven and whom he will banish into hell. Because the fact is that outward appearances can be deceiving. And more importantly, deciding who gets to heaven and who gets to hell, that's God's job, not ours. Yes, I know that great many of us like to tell people where to go and how fast to get there. Don't presume that God will listen to you on that. God is a sovereign God. God will decide who goes where and when, not us. He's a good and sovereign God. He rules his kingdom with wisdom and power and love. And the good news for all of us, especially for those who know and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, the good news for us is that Jesus has promised. Jesus has promised, not guaranteed, but promised that all those who believe in him as Savior is to inherit the kingdom of God. All the more reason, all the urgency to get as many people as we can into relationship with Jesus so that they too may have that promise of being inheritors of the kingdom of God. So our task, our role in all of this is to follow the two main commandments that Jesus gave us. That we are to love the Lord our God with every fiber of our being and to love one another, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That is all that is required of us. Love. Love God and love others. And let God decide who gets where when. I know it's tough to love some people, especially when we don't like them. But Jesus didn't say, like one another. He says, love one another. Go beyond the liking and love them enough to introduce them to Christ Jesus, who has come to save them from eternal hell. Imagine what it would be like if every Christian on the face of the planet, 4 billion of us, were able to introduce one person to have a good relationship with Christ. That means the entire planet, 7 billion plus, will be all believers. The math is not hard. It's just hard to accomplish. But we try. That is our challenge. Wherever we roam in God's green earth, we are therefore invited and encouraged to love others enough to introduce them to the saving grace of God so that the myth that we know where people will end up by the way we look at them can be
busted.
So I encourage us to share and to live out this good news that God has promised in Christ Jesus for us to be inheritors of his kingdom. And we have to share this good news with others and trust in God to fulfill his promise to us. Now I have to end it there for today. We'll pick this up next in 2 weeks as we continue this myth-busting series. We'll catch up with the last two, the one that says going to church is optional, as well as miracles will convert others into believing. Stay tuned for that. We'll get back to that. And then later on in the year, we will cover a lot of other myths and sayings that not even Christian-based, not even biblically-based, but we tend to act and behave as if it's truth. But for now, I pray that you work in witnessing to those in your life, those in your path, those around you, to invite them, if they don't have a personal relationship with the Savior, to do so. Because the alternative is grim. I also encourage you to refrain from those judgmental attitudes of judging those who may be different from us, who may think differently, who believe differently, who may even be from the other side of the aisle from us, and judge them as heading to hell on a shopping cart, which is very fast. Not a hand basket, but a shopping cart. Well, that's not our job. Our job is to love them. Our job is to introduce them to Christ's love and mercy. And God will take care of the rest. Otherwise, we run the risk of playing God. And the last time somebody played God got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So stay tuned. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Amen.